In 2012, the FTC had a monopoly lawsuit against Google in its sights, and it blinked. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. All this week, Congress has been holding antitrust hearings with a specific eye on big tech companies. And also this week, an investigation published in Politico found that nearly a decade ago, commissioners at the Federal Trade Commission apparently ignored evidence that Google was building an anti-competitive monopoly in search and advertising. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story in the news. Matt Stoller is research director at the nonprofit American Economic Liberties Project.
In 2012, the Federal Trade Commission said, we have a bunch of evidence that Google is trying to monopolize the entire internet. And the five commissioners voted 5-0 not to bring a case. Mm-hmm. So now you fast forward 8 years, and Google is this giant, you know, mediates the flow of information all over the world, controls the internet. And there are antitrust cases against it from a whole bunch of states and enforcers all over the world, which are effectively the antitrust cases that the FTC did not bring in 2012.
Companies trying to get bigger is not that unusual. What was it about what Google was doing at the time that suggested that there should have been a case?
Competing by improving your product or service is what we want. But competing by signing agreements to exclude your competitor so that they can't get into the market, that's the essence of antitrust law. Mm-hmm. Google pays today about, I don't know, $10 to $15 billion a year to Apple, saying when consumers use their iPhones and they open Safari on their iPhones and they do a search, that search automatically goes through Google. There were emails that were revealed in this case that were in the footnotes that said effectively the Google executives were saying, yeah, we're signing these deals to monopolize. We're signing these deals to exclude competitors from the market.
In some ways, tech was a newish industry then. It is clear from these papers that, you know, the economists working with the FTC made some predictions that couldn't have been more wrong, let's say. Can you chalk this up to simply not understanding what was happening in the tech industry or what could happen?
So one, this is part of a broad problem of elite lawlessness in America and across the West. Mm-hmm. The way that antitrust lawyers think about the world, they just are completely out of touch. That has to do with a very old school framework where they only look at what's called consumer welfare. So if something is good for consumers, that's the only thing they care about. And they were like, oh, Google offers a bunch of free stuff. And then if they're doing that, then nothing that they do is bad. And so they accepted a whole bunch of arguments from Google and essentially said to the commission, don't file a case. Meanwhile, the antitrust lawyers at the FTC were like, yeah, this is obvious stuff. This is really bad.
Although it sounds like you're saying, given this country's attitude toward companies over the past few decades, it's still not that likely we would have, right, done anything differently?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm an optimist, but also, you know, historically, you know, the post-1982 to probably 2015 or so, was a very weird, very pro-corporate, pro-monopoly time. And before that, you know, really all the way back to the founding of the country up until the 1970s, you had a lot of skepticism about monopoly, and we're returning to that. So I do think that we can do a lot. Had we been organizing around saying, hey, we have a monopoly problem in the early 2000s, yeah, I think we would have absolutely nipped this problem in the bud and but we didn't. So we are where we are, and we're trying to deal with the problem as it exists now.
Do you think that these, as we move forward now, you know, we are a country that likes to fix a problem after it's way out of hand. But I wonder, will documents like this help going forward in what is already an uphill battle?
I absolutely think that these documents leaked has been incredibly important. I mean, the House Antitrust Subcommittee, which is Congress last session, both the Republicans and the Democrats did an extensive 16-month investigation led by Chairman David Cicilline into these big tech firms. They recommended a host of changes to the market structure, including breaking them up so that their businesses are simpler. It was an enormous undertaking, very powerful with CEO testimony. And I think one of the things they found is that our enforcers are a catastrophic failure. And one of the things that the FTC did, and Google was aggressive about this, is they refused to explain why they didn't bring this case.
Matt Stoller is with the nonprofit American Economic Liberties Project and the author of a book about U.S. monopolies called Goliath. In House testimony Thursday, the FTC said it should examine its past decisions and that it's taking a more aggressive posture these days. And now for some related links. First, if you haven't read the Politico piece, there's a link at our website, marketplacetech.org. Google, of course, responded, and there's a link to their blog post on the topic, too. The too-long-didn't-read version of that post is that Google says, you know, case closed. The commission's decision was unanimous and bipartisan. The post suggested that, in fact, Google's competition, and especially Microsoft, were the biggest drivers behind the push to sue the company. We asked the FTC for a response. The agency refused to comment, but it pointed us to Thursday's House antitrust hearing, in which, obviously, that Politico article did come up. Both acting FTC Chair Rebecca Slaughter, a Democrat, and Republican Commissioner Noah Phillips said that although that decision predated their terms, the agency is moving toward a posture that's less worried about over-enforcement and more worried about under-enforcement. And that's why you're seeing more activity in lawsuits these days. Commissioner Slaughter said the FTC, yes, needs to look back at what it might have done wrong, and moving forward would need to, quote, bring hard cases, even if it wasn't sure it could win. Now, there was, as you might imagine, partisan dispute among lawmakers about what the remedy should be for dealing with big tech. Democrats primarily talked about existing antitrust law and monopoly power, and whether companies were improperly using that monopoly power to push out competition. Republicans pretty much only wanted to talk about Section 230 and the perceived censorship of conservative voices. The Republican commissioner, Phillips, responded that antitrust and consumer protection are the FTC's job, and that content moderation is not, and is not an antitrust issue. And by the way, most analysis has shown over and over that conservative voices are not being censored on social media, although deliberate mis- and disinformation and hate speech increasingly have been. So one does start to wonder just what these Republicans are arguing that they'd like to see more of on Facebook. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produce the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.